This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more. Done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right. It is crossover time, sponsored by Bay Alarm. Rest easy. We've got you covered. BayAlarm.com. Let's welcome in Willard and Dibs. Hey, gents. How you doing?
What's going on, Sonny?
Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you.
Oh, yeah.
Same to you guys.
What a shindig, Steiny.
Thanks for coming, Mark.
What a hat. You had a hat.
I did.
I didn't know you could rock a hat like that. I was impressed.
And Let me tell you,
there's only three people that can get me to do something, and that's each of my three daughters.
Okay.
And they wanted me to wear it.
That's good.
Game over.
The name tag was a source of conversation. I don't know if you knew that at that
time. Oh,
night.
I didn't know that.
It was also bedazzled.
It was a bedazzled name tag.
Right.
You're the only one
right.
with a name tag.
Right.
And I'm like, you're the only one that everybody here knows.
So there was
so
a young...
you were the only one who didn't need a name tag. But you were the only
maybe
one who
you
had a
could
name
bring
tag.
All of us up to speed who maybe weren't there,
yeah,
including me and the entire audience.
New Year's Eve party, Steiny's house.
Everyone.
There was an 8-year-old girl there, Gwen, family niece essentially, and she made me a special name tag to say thanks for the party. And I figured I gotta, you know, it's the kids that get me, Mark.
I tell
it's
you
the
what,
kids.
That was a super wholesome answer.
To hell with the kids was your famous drop.
You know what? I made, it's a new year.
You've evolved.
It's a new year. It's a new year. With the other
gotcha.
Kids. Not the kids that were
and
at this
And what
party.
Was the hat like? Was it a top hat?
It was a bucket hat, kind of.
Yeah.
A bucket hat, okay.
I think it's on my Instagram.
Isn't
it? I don't know if anybody snapped the phone.
No,
out. I think I got you.
Oh, yeah.
Because Christy posted it.
So
Christy posted it, and then
Evan made an appearance. Willard made an appearance. Lucas Alexander made an appearance.
Nice.
Okay. So
okay.
You gotta,
okay
you
that's
gotta,
right. We took that picture
go
before you left.
You got to go to my most recent Instagram post, but then you got to scroll.
You're pretty
okay.
active.
It's picture number 4.
Yeah, you got some photos popping up.
Yeah. Well, Christy posted this one and did that like share things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So anyway, if you want to see Steiny's shiny bucket hat. Then you got to go to my most recent post and then scroll.
Okay.
Picture number 4 of the scroll.
All
and
right.
Steiny with a shiny
now, will you
and
be,
a big smile.
Will
too.
You be able to
you
tell if anybody goes there to look at the photo?
If they like the photo.
Yeah. There'll be
is
comments
it public
and
or private? You got
to Oh, totally public.
I'll give them a follow anyway.
I'm an open book. Yeah, I'm an open book.
All right,
so
Jonathan Kuminga.
Oh.
Stop it.
What are you guys' thoughts on Saturday?
Dibs?
I mean, they played about as well as they could against a team that's just flat better. And if you want to look at the game as a whole, they weren't great. And the offense was terrible, but the offense was terrible because their defense was awesome. And you couldn't block. And when you can't block and they rush 4... you can't pass, and when you did pass and you caught the ball, they tackled. And on the other side, the defense was good. They were okay. They were fine, as Mark loves. He hates that word, but the defense was fine. The defense wasn't bad. The defense made plays when they had to, and they gave up 13 points, but they gave up three miss, and McDonald should have gone for three early and didn't. So that game could have been 26-3, and we'd think differently. So the defense was fine. I mean, the defense I would give a good old-fashioned gentleman C. The offense was terrible, and they were terrible for a reason. You had no Trent Williams, and their defense was awesome.
Can I disagree with one sentence, though?
You could disagree with all of it.
The defense made plays when they had to. No, they did not.
Fourth and four in the opening drive,
right.
They made a play.
Third and 17, for me, is the most demoralizing of Bay Area sports in the entire last calendar year.
That's a stretch. But
it is for me.
Well, the calendar year has only been 5 days long.
No, calendar year. Go back 12 months.
The calendar, starts in January.
I don't know.
So
they had a 41-point loss.
If you want to change your terms.
I know you love to grandpa this, and we're not allowed to say
grandpa
happy new year for another 40.
If you want to talk about calendar year.
You know what I mean.
If you want to say last 12 months, we can talk about it.
You know.
You are Captain Syntax over here, Steiny, so yes.
What I mean is I actually had the most visceral, physical fan reaction to any Bay Area sports moment that I can remember in probably more than 12
Curry
months.
Curry getting hurt against Minnesota?
No, that's not that's a bummer.
Okay.
I'm talking about
Draymond getting thrown out 5 times this week?
Yeah, I was going to say one.
Yeah, that's
you knew it was over at that point or
I just found that to be the most.
So you were like Lynch.
Right. That was so maddening.
Yeah.
And here's why.
Ramos' double play?
Well, that was dumb. Yeah.
that was pretty bad.
No, but I guess put it this way. The Niner defense and I mean, the offense too, to the point Dibs just made. I can look at all these performances and you can be bummed, but I don't get mad because I know why. They are hampered. They don't have – they're outmanned when they go against a team as good as Seattle. So why would I be like, you are awful people for losing? No, you're outmanned. But even an outmanned team can do that. You can stop 3rd and 17 when they wave a white flag and run the ball in an attempt to punt. They're trying to punt, and you give them 19 yards. I found that to be just
I thought
demoralizing.
Biggest to me, that was the biggest play of the game. Bigger than McCaffrey's drop because they were down 2 scores at that point. I guess Aikman said they had converted one of those the week before on a 3rd and 15 where they ran it.
Tampa?
They played Carolina.
Carolina. And it was kind of the exact same situation. Looking back at it, it's one of those games where you needed everything to go right.
Totally.
And you needed you needed a stop there. You needed McCaffrey to score, and Seattle looked good, I thought.
Yeah,
everybody but the kicker.
Exactly.
Oh, go ahead.
You talk about everything that had to go right, and I looked at earlier today, I heard you guys, and you guys were awesome. The pivotal plays in one score games this year for the Niners, and if you look at all of them, week one, Tonjes touchdown, Bosa force fumble, you beat Seattle. Week two, you're up 5 against New Orleans, and it wasn't yet dicey, but on 4th and 2, Huff with the sack fumble, you win. Week 3, you're down, and you had Stout with the pass breakup, remember, against Arizona, and then Pinero, the game-winning field goal.
Oh, that was Harrison Jr. dropped the pass.
It was a pass breakup, but it was a drop, catchable ball, but I mean, Stout was there, he made a play. Week 4 against Jacksonville, you're down, and Purdy's trying to drive, and then the forced fumble from Armstead. So that was another play in a one-score game. Week 5, the Rams, we know. You had the goal line punch out, and you had the fourth down stop in that game. So if you want to go through all of the one-score games where plays had to be made, more often than not, you made the play. So yes, against Seattle, 3rd and 17, no, you didn't do it. You're driving inside the deep lower red zone, and McCaffrey bobbles it, the ball was tipped, and he coughs it up, and you give up an INT. If they catch that and they score, are they still going to win? Probably not. But they have a better chance. So if you go through the whole year, the majority of the year has been one-score games play to be made. They made the play. And that's why I'm not that outraged.
Right. Well, if he makes that catch and they score, the only thing it opens up the door is, well, now you're a play away again from winning. You know
now
what I mean?
Like, stop him again. Though.
Right. But like that's, I think that's what Dibs is saying. Not sure. That you're disagreeing, but like they get to that point. Now they just need a holder to score. And they right. can win the game.
Well, even if they score there, right. and I'm looking at my notes here, that happened with 10:21 to go. Eight-minute drive. Seattle uses 8 minutes, and they go down there, and they miss the field goal.
By the way,
a doinker, but it didn't even matter. Eight minutes.
But I also think significant, where did that drive start?
Yeah.
At the two, and they just, boop, just,
yep.
like you're in trouble. Boop, here's Jackson, Smith, and Jigba, but then now we're out of trouble. So that's
even
why
Cooper Kupp, remember he's on Seattle?
Yeah, well, he had a big first down.
Yeah, big first down.
On third down, he gets five yards like, and
they were outclassed and outmanned on both sides of the ball. I don't really get into the whole, but they only gave him up 13 points. Like, yeah, that was actually Seattle's fault that they only got 13 points because they're doinking field goals
yep.
and going for it on fourth down when they shouldn't. And they possessed the ball for almost 40 minutes. That is domination. So don't get twisted into the whole, like, what was the final score to me? I thought both sides were thoroughly dominated. And it made me think this, and I wanted to run this by all you guys. Like, I think that this helps me understand the whole, like, the Niners 12-5. This is the first time in the history of the NFL that three teams in one division had 12 wins or more. I don't think the Niners are that good. I think they're accomplished. And there's a real difference there. It's kind of like why I know a lot of Barry fans don't think Tom Brady is the GOAT. He's a great quarterback, but he's the most accomplished quarterback. I don't think Tom Brady is cut out as like the most talented QB who's ever lived. And I'll liken that to the Niners. I don't think they're a special football team, and for obvious hello reasons.
No,
like half their dudes are gone. They're not special. But they accomplished something even with those, those challenges in front of them, and so that's great. And now we get to go to the playoffs and see if they can pull more rabbits out of hats.
Well, I think that's what was sobering is if you were a special team, you win that game,
right?
And if you don't, then you're kind of exposed. I think that's why the McCaffrey play to me was the most frustrating because I think you guys are right. Most football games do come down to a few big plays, but you need playmakers in those spots to get it done. And honestly, of everybody on the field on Saturday, McCaffrey's probably your biggest playmaker, maybe outside of Brock Purdy, but like everyone's unhealthy. Everyone's out. Christian McCaffrey's the one guy that you can't have in a moment like that not make that play. And as much as, yes, would they have won the game? Who knows? All I know is that being in the stadium, that place was finally, after 50-plus minutes, finally starting to get loud.
Yep.
It was starting to, people were into it. You could feel the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
The momentum shifting, and as soon as he got up and that ball was in the hands of Drake Thomas, everybody left.
Yep.
Everybody got up and left because they knew the game was over. And so, yes, Seattle marches down the field and they get all these third downs and extend drives, but if they go in and score, which I believe they were about to do, I do think that that game becomes, well, then you put it in the hands of Sam Darnold, who honestly didn't have to do much in that football game yesterday. Kubiak took the ball out of his hands and just gave it to his running back and said, you will not mess this up. And the one opportunity he had to mess up the game was if they catch the ball and go in and score.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Yeah, I mean, you were... I don't know why I thought of Giannis after they lost the playoffs and the guy said, so is this year a failure? And he was like,
all right.
And I was thinking, if the Niners get beat tomorrow, if the Niners are get beat next week in Philly, was the season a failure? No.
No, and we actually talked about this last week. Like, if we wanted to look at our satisfaction ratings right now going into that game, we both were like a 7. So even if you lose to Seattle, which you did, and now you go to Philly and you lose, which I think that you probably will, does that mean that all of a sudden now we're going to fire people and we're irate? No. You had so many injuries. You went 12-5, and you didn't quite win the division. You didn't get the one seed. So now you go to Philly, and if things go the way that the odds makers will tell you that they probably will go, and we don't know if Trent will play, and you know Ricky Pearsall, somebody called him Charmin earlier, and I hated to hear it, but I actually liked the comp.
That was me. Yeah.
Charmin's really soft, and Charmin's probably more useful than Ricky Pearsall, but I got what you were saying.
When he's in play, he's awesome. He just, like, that was the thing. I felt like that was
and that's Charmin. Like, when you have Charmin on the roll, it's
like
really
it.
Useful.
Yeah, I'm not calling somebody soft who got shot in the chest and played 2 months later.
This is not shot in the chest.
I'm out on that call.
Okay.
I mean, that's all.
This has nothing to do with him being shot. This has to do, in my opinion.
He called him soft. I'm out. That's all.
He called him Charmin. He didn't call him soft. Charmin is 3-ply and very useful.
But I understand what Willer's saying.
I get it.
All I know is that the guy has not been able to get through a football game pretty much since he got in the NFL.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
Let alone a football season.
Now, when he does, he's awesome.
Yeah.
But even against Chicago, which he did finish, he still got hurt.
Yeah, no, he's going to need to figure that out.
We don't know if he'll play this weekend. And if he doesn't, and you know, you're left with Juwan and was Kendrick Bourne even, was he active?
He got 100, yeah, he got 100 singles before the game. But he forgot to throw up in the crowd when he ran out of the tunnel.
Honesty. Full honesty. How many of you knew who Garrett Wallow was before the game?
No chance.
Before the game. Like, no. Honesty.
He ran a 4.8.
Evan, I believe you. He raises his hand.
He ran a 4.81 at the combine in 2000.
Let me say it again. Did you know he was on the Niners? Did you know that he was active? Did you, when he came out on the field and you saw number 49, are you like, that's Garrett Wallow?
Did you have to look it up? I will tell you when I knew.
I was looking at the roster before we did the kickoff show with Laughing Monk, and I was like, who is this guy? So I texted. That's the only reason I knew before the game. But
my kids were like, they're like, is that Luke Gifford? I'm like, I don't know.
I knew after the first time they punted, when the Niners punt, and it's a face mask, and they said the number, and they said the name. The name showed up on the graphic. And I was watching with Pop, my father-in-law, and my wife, and of course, baby Mila, who is the Candyland champion, by the way.
Oh, nice.
And I had to pause it. I said, wait, face mask on who? And I looked, and so I had to, you know, you had to Google it. And I'm like, Wallow?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Is it Ravens practice squad 2.5 weeks ago? Is that where it came
from?
Sure,
Mark.
They scooped them up.
Is that right?
Ago, yeah.
Sure.
Right. Not so, again... Like, I run that through.
Garrett Wallow.
That's right.
Baltimore could have used him last night.
So then when you're like, man, these guys are overrated, or you're pissed at the coach, it's like, Garrett Wallow. I don't even know who that is.
He gets paid to play football.
Right, but that's the 49ers this year. So, yeah, they're not good. But
who are you?
They're accomplished.
He wore number 49.
I know.
It's like a pitcher coming out of the bullpen is wearing 87.
I'm like, Earl
Cooper. Is that Earl Cooper? Yes. Earl Cooper, look at you.
Who is that guy?
Look at you.
Earl Cooper, who also wore?
49, right?
And? Didn't he switch from 89 to 49?
He might have.
I think.
Yeah, I remember.
I think you got to go on the Wayback Machine.
But someone probably bought it off him, and he needed the money.
Yeah. Anyway. And maybe it's just because they lost, but I did not like the black unis. Like, what are we doing?
I like the black. They just look too much like the Cardinals for me. And anytime you're looking a lot like the Arizona Cardinals, that's not a good look.
That's a bad sign.
That's a bad look.
Yep.
Somebody said they also look like the Falcons.
A little bit.
I thought they were cool, but I'm not a uniform guy.
I'm not either.
I do like their standard uniforms.
What was the final score? You know? Yeah. Giants are out there on Tuesday nights.
Bet they won't be wearing them in Philly.
Pink on. I'm like, whatever. Did they win?
What was the one year they had the City Connect uniforms? They're like undefeated in.
Yeah.
No, I like them now.
Creamsicles.
Yeah, they're looking really good.
I hate these. I'm like, well, they win every Tuesday. Yeah. Maybe I'll buy a hat.
They had 9 first downs, guys. 9.
I mean, 9 eventually.
That's true.
Well, the first down was in the second quarter.
It took them a while.
It took them forever to get that first down.
So. Well, Steiny was pissed because Shanahan was blaming the defense.
Well, I just played this and...
I mean, we need to tackle better. We need to play better than that. I was proud that they kept battling and was able to hold them to 13 points. That's what gave us a chance there at the end. But we need to play better all around.
Do you not agree?
Can we talk about the offense?
Well, sure.
Like, I mean...
Did the Niners tackle well?
No,
Did the Seahawks tackle well?
No.
No.
I mean, yeah.
Yes. But that's what it's supposed to look like.
I get that. But... He's their offense is way more whole than their defense. If they're going to go anywhere, their offense is going to have to carry them. And quite frankly, as bad as the defense played, they couldn't have played much better in a way because they're so undermanned. And the reality is you only give up 13 points. So they go down the field, 8 minutes, you hold them. Like, now you can't go 3-and-out.
Yeah, but
and they went 3-and-out, and then boom, they score, and then they go 3-and-out again. It's like, I get that those long drives put more pressure on your offense, but that's all it does. It puts more pressure on your offense, but they never move the ball.
Can I ask what the question was that Kyle was answering? Because it's not.
I'm sure it was probably a throwaway
like
line.
Was asked about the defense.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's blaming the defense if you're just like, well, we need to tackle better.
Sure, the defense needs to play better. But,
you know,
that was, the secondary story of the game. And it's, Kyle, whether you like it or not, you're a great offensive coach, and you guys couldn't move the ball.
He's also the head coach. We do that too much where we're like, Kyle's in charge of the offense. Kyle's in charge of both. I get it. I know he's the offensive play caller, but like if he was asked about the defense and that's the way he answered the question, it's a pretty fair answer. Ask him about the offense next. He might be like, yeah, we weren't efficient. We need to get first downs. Like, and we did, you know what I mean?
I'll tell you
which
right now.
Which was the more disappointing unit, though?
Yeah, I guess the offense.
10% of their sacks on the season in that game. They had a chance to get a fumble. Couldn't fall on top of it. Sam Darnold was pretty mediocre, I thought. The only thing they couldn't do was stop the run. Meanwhile, the offense couldn't move the ball all but one drive in the game.
Yeah, this is true of any football team. And it's why, for instance, Philip Rivers for a half was even able to move the ball. If your offensive line
he looked good.
Is creating time, any NFL quarterback can move the ball. And if your offensive line is not creating time, no NFL quarterback can move the ball. That's the way I see it. The Niners have a trench problem. And if you want a macro criticism, the way that they have not addressed their offensive line through the last few years came home to roost in this one. And I think that that's completely fair. But, like, they were outmanned. So I don't – in a micro, I don't look – at Niner skill position players, wide receivers, running backs, and quarterbacks, and go, you screwed up. I don't think the opportunity was there for them to play well. Like, there was no time to function.
Well, even when they tried to do different things, and I'm looking at the last drive of the half where they run the screen to Kittle, and he catches it, they lose 6. Okay, now we're 2nd and 16.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, but they converted with Juwan on 3rd and 10, and then you get down, you had the jump pass, Brock Purdy. He's getting so pressured. I'm Tim Tebow. And all that, you got down and you had a 48-yard field goal for your only points of the game. You had to fight like heck. And by the way, you were benefited by a kick out of bounds. So you started at your 40. You wound up at their 30. You got 30 yards in, I'm looking at 8 plays. That's about 3.5 per play. So they had to fight tooth and nail just to get to that point. For me, the biggest one was the McCaffrey bobble pick, because if you go in there, that was the one time, Evan, to your point, that they actually looked like the old Niners, where it's just boom and, you know, bootleg and Brock's out of the pocket. And that's where I criticize Shanahan. I don't think that he did enough to give Brock a chance to, you know, even run some like read option and get out on the perimeter and, you know, give yourself a chance to have that RPO, that run pass option.
I agree with that. I just think good things happen when Brock is out of the pocket, and they didn't do that. And I don't know if they weren't running the ball well enough to create those sorts of plays, but yeah, it seemed like they waited too long to move him around the field.
I mean, also, you know, we're talking about the defense. Okay, they weren't great, but they only gave up 13 points. You know, their defense may be better next week and give up 26, because they gave up 13, but it could have been a lot worse. Like, they blew a game where their defense kind of got every break in the book. Like, this was a game they've won all year. When a team misses two field goals and they hold a team at the goal line, and a team that probably should have had 23 points or 25 or whatever only has 13, and then you end up beating them. Like, you're going to need to score more than 14 points probably to win your next game. And 14 would have gotten it done, is all I'm saying, this past game.
Yeah, I get all of Philly's problems, but they're a better offense than Seattle's. They're not as good of a defense as Seattle. They're good defense. They're not as good as Seattle. But yeah, Seattle kind of played the exact same game against the Niners both times. Scored 13 points. The Niners were able to grind out a couple of touchdowns the first time they played Seattle. They were not the second time. And the Niners are a completely different unit.
I mean, I can't even
the first game they outgained them by like 100 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember
Seattle outgained the Niners.
No, the Niners like controlled that game. They were better on third down. Actually, I think it was like 150 yards more. I mean, that was a game that was 17-13, but I remember coming in Monday and everybody saying they dominated.
Well, they had their people.
Well, yeah, exactly.
They ended up making the plays.
Bosa is the biggest one. This game was the total.
Yeah, I'm just looking at those notes, and they're down 10-7 at the half, and then
10-3.
He's talking about game one.
Brock throws a pick coming out of the locker room, and then the Niner D holds, and then you go all the way down to the 18, and I think it was Jake Moody at the time.
Sure was. Yeah.
Field goal blocked. So now you're still down 10-7, and you hold Seattle again. And then you finally get a Moody field goal to tie it. So that game was kind of a little bit of a mirror image of this one, where your special teams were awful, and then you were able to gut it out late.
Didn't he miss two in that game?
He missed one and got one blocked.
Yes.
I think late to maybe go up seven, he missed one. He yanked it. Short one.
I think he missed, and got one blocked. Three attempts.
Yeah, he made it to go 10-10, and then your boy, president of Brockistan, throws another pick.
Yeah, he did.
10-10.
A couple of them in that
Seattle
game.
Field goal, and then SF, the Tonjes play to go up by four.
Then it's money time.
Yeah, exactly. Although, funny that yesterday that Tonjes couldn't even get a snap.
That is a little strange, isn't it?
Well, Kittle was healthy.
I know, but you played Luke Farrell, which I know he's the blocking tight end, but here's an idea. Shanny, go to three tight ends like everyone else. Do something different when what you're doing is not working. Mix it up. Okay?
Do we know they practice that?
They better. They probably don't.
31?
Juice kind.
31?
He didn't belong in that game.
13. No, he acts as a tight end sometimes.
Possibly.
Yeah,
sure.
Juice does.
Dibs.
You're welcome.
Steiny.
I don't think your boy... I don't think he belonged in that game. Juice check. He was just overwhelmed.
He had a couple big catches.
I think he only had one.
He did?
He had a fourth and one that he...
I don't remember any Niner offensive player.
Well,
I don't... you know what I mean? I remember a few plays.
Yeah. All right, guys. So you guys bring it home on 95.7 The Game, and Happy New Year.
Great hat, Steiny.
Happy New Year to everybody.
Great hat.
Thank you.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.